I got several verses. I don't know if I read them all or not read them all, but I will make mention of them. Maybe you get a pen, pencil, write them down. I've got a thought today, and the thought is this. Where and how? Where and how? Where you spend eternity and how you spend eternity. We've been talking about where. We've talked about whosoever, and we've talked a lot about those things. But we never talk about how you will spend eternity. I want you to know today that your belief determines where you go. Your belief determines where you go. If you believe that Jesus died on the cross for your sins, you will go to heaven. If you don't believe that, you will go to hell. Your belief determines, but your behavior determines how you will spend eternity. Boy, it got like really quiet. And some people think, well, Brother Steve, hell's hell. And I want you to know there's different degrees of hell. And there's degrees of heaven. So if you had a ball coach at some point in time in your life and he said, you're going to get into it what you put, get out of it what you put into it, you might ought to think about that today. If you think you're saved, that's it, you might be surprised there's more to it than that. You are going to heaven, but you can miss out on things in heaven. And maybe you're today and you're not a believer. So I don't really know if I even believe it. And so far you haven't believed it. Maybe I'll go to hell one day. I want you to know there's different degrees of hell. And hell can be harder for some than it for others. I got three people who agree. You'll agree with the Bible though, right? If I can show you scripture. So here's what the writer of Hebrews says, Hebrews 9:27, you know it. It's appointed unto man once to die. So, here's a question we come through in our class. Does God know when I was going to be born? Did God know when I was going to be born? He did. Now, does God know when I die? Apparently it's appointed. So if God says it's appointed unto man once to die, every one of you sitting in this room watching online, you got an appointment with God. The problem is you don't know when it is. Rochelle and I see the same doctor. When we were in Belize last trip, we got a message, make sure you don't miss your appointment on Monday. It didn't say Steve or Rochelle, it just was a text message. I said, well, it must be me because it came to my phone. And Rochelle said, I give them your number for me too. So we missed it. So when I got home, I just had to ask when I was at the doctor's office, which one of us missed the appointment? Still don't know. They never got back to me. But I promise you the appointment you got with God, you won't miss it. It's appointed. Now, go with me to 1 Corinthians 3. It's going to take me a second to read those verses, but I will. Belief determines where you spend eternity. Behavior determines how you spend eternity. So I want to talk about two eternities today. I want to talk about two judgments today. So there's two eternities, heaven and hell. We've got that. There's two judgments. Judgment seat of Christ, great white throne judgment. I want you to read these with me. Ecclesiastes 12 says, let me read it to you. I'll just flip and read. Ecclesiastes 12, 14 says, for God shall bring every work into judgment, with every secret thing. Now watch, whether it be good or whether it be evil. This said, God will bring everything, secret or not, into judgment. Everything. So So when you and I that are saved stand before God, what are we going to give account of? Let me just poll the audience. How many of you in this room you know for sure you're going to heaven? Raise your hand. All right, here's my question to you. Has any of you sinned this week? Let me get more detailed for your sake. Anybody in this room let a word slip that you normally wouldn't let slip? You don't have to raise your hand, okay? I'm just. Some of you done committed. So I'm wondering, when you get to heaven, do you get to talk to God about why you said that? Because some of us sitting in the room are wondering, I don't really know what's going to go on when we get there. That's why we got this book. God actually shows us what we got to do when we get there. So let me read you some verses. He said every word's going to be brought before us, and he said every, right? So let's read a few verses. Matthew 16. I told you to mark. Well, I told you I'd get there. Just stay with me. Matthew 16. You can read these with me. I'll take time. Verse 27, Matthew 16, 27. For the Son of Man shall come in the glory of His Father with His angels, and then He shall reward every man according to His what? His works. So, catch this with me. When you got saved, you started living as a God child. And so now you're accountable for how you live as a God child and what you do as a child of God, okay? And the Bible said when Jesus comes, He will reward us according to what? Our works. Go to 1 Peter 1. I almost got here in Sunday school and I didn't get that far. 1 Peter 1, 17. 1 Peter 1, 17. And if you call on the Father, who without respect of persons judges according to every man's work. I underline every man's work. You see that? Pass the time of sojourning here in fear. Y'all read that? Let me read it one more time. He said, if you call on the Father, who in here has prayed to God today? Or you've called on the Father? He said, who without respect of persons judgeth according to every man's work. You and I don't live in a world that doesn't respect persons. You and I know if you know somebody, you can get about anything done. Am I right? You know somebody, you can make a phone call. But listen, God does not operate that way. He's going to give every man according as he's worked. Now watch this part. Watch this part, please. He says, pass the time of your sojourning here. Anybody know what he's talking about? Your sojourning here? Your life. He said, knowing, Brian, that one day you got to stand before me. He said, Brian, I'm going to tell you something. You ought to pass your time here on earth with fear. Because I'm, Bobby, going to bring everything you do in judgment. Anybody here nervous yet? Maybe a tad. All right? 2 Corinthians. I know I told you 1 Corinthians, but now 2 Corinthians chapter 5. I'm going to get 1st and 2nd. 2 Corinthians 5. Verse 9. Let me read 8 with you. We love this one. We use this at funerals. Verse 8. For we are confident, saying willing rather, to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. So here's a question for all you Bible scholars. What happens when you die? What happens when you die, saved people? Your body goes to the ground and your soul goes to be with God. Absent from the body, Julia, absent from the body, present with the Lord. All right? Whew, I'm glad I get to go to heaven. Now watch the rest of the verse. We are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and present with the Lord. Wherefore we labor that whether present or absent, we may be what? Accepted of Him. Not by Him, of Him. For we must all, I underline that, all, appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in His body. I underline this. His body, according that He hath done, whether it be good or bad. Your works. Yeah, but Brother Steve, Jason Witte's just not doing right. Listen, that's Jason. I'm telling you, you have to stand before God and give an account of your works, not His. Now listen, I'm going to tell you something really good for you all. You should be glad you don't have to go on what I do. Because I am a sinful person. I don't know how God even wanted to save me. But He did. And you don't have to be judged according to what I do. Aren't you happy? I can see some of you starting to smile. Whew. But you know what? You're accountable for yourself. He goes on to say in Romans 14, I'm almost there to your verse you're waiting on. Romans 14, verse 10. But why dost thou judge thy brother? Why dost thou set it not thy brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. For it is written, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, every tongue shall confess to God. Listen, there's a bunch of people in the world today who don't believe in God. You're not even sure all this is true. I want you to know there's coming a day and time there'll be no doubts. It'll all be reality. Jesus was and is the Son of God. He died for your sins. There is a heaven. There is a hell. It'll all be real one day. 1 Corinthians 3. Finally, got there. 1 Corinthians 3. Look at verse number 10. Watch really close. According to the grace of God which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, another man buildeth thereupon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. For other foundations can no man lay that is laid, which is in Jesus Christ. All right, just take a pause for a minute. There were some people in Paul's day that were claiming, listen, I'm a follower of Paul. Paul led me to the Lord. And this other guy says, yeah, I know, but Apollos led me to the Lord. And they were arguing which was the greatest of these two. And now Paul clears it up and he says, listen, Jesus is the foundation. Don't you believe and put your faith in Paul. Don't put your faith in Apollos. You put your faith in Jesus. That's the foundation. Every house that ever is going to make it through a storm depends on the foundation. You know why some people who go to church and something bad happens, you know why they fall apart? I'm not a psychiatrist, but I have slept in Holiday Inn. Greg got that. You know why they don't hold together, Brian? You know why they lose? You know why they commit suicide? You know why they can't make it? Because they don't have a good foundation. They've came to church. They've went to church with some people. They've talked. They've hugged. They prayed. They read their Bible. But you know what? There's no foundation. When you got Jesus Christ as your foundation, and then the storms of life come, a death, a cancer, whatever it is, and it just beats upon your life, and when the storm's gone, Anita, you're still standing. Maybe some shingles gone. Maybe a broken window or two. But the house is still standing because of the foundation. Now here's what he says to you that are built on this foundation of Jesus Christ. So I'm talking to everybody right now who knows they're saved and going to heaven. Watch what he says in these verses. Watch really close. This is what you need to get today. So watch. Now, if any man build upon this foundation, how many are saved going to heaven? Raise your hand. Okay, one more time. He gives you six pieces of material that he compares your life to. These are the works you're doing. These are the things you do for God. Some, he said, are gold, silver, and precious stone. Some are wood, hay, and stubble. Now he says this, verse 13. You ready? Every man's work shall be made manifest, it may be brought out to light, for the day shall declare. Does anybody know what the day is? Judgment day. When you die, one day there's going to be a judgment day for you saved people. We're all going to get together. God's not going to walk out and say, "Hey, y'all done good. Go enjoy. The gates are open. Run." It's not like that. He said, one at a time, we're going to give an account of our life. And the stuff we've done has been compared to gold and stone or straw and wood. And you know what the determining factor is? He said it's fire. So what does fire do to gold? It'll melt it. Will it melt it? If you put your ring in fire, will it melt? And then when it gets cool, what will it do? Be hard again. But all the impurities in your gold disappears. What happens to hay in fire? Gone. So watch. If any man's work abide which he hath received, which he built thereon, he shall receive a reward. So here you go. Watch close. I'm about to get to the stuff. You live for God. You do the best you can. Follow the book. You stand before God and He puts your works to the test. And they are not burned up. You get a reward. Well, isn't that good? So you're saying, Brother Steve, like my little mansion in heaven is going to have a trophy rack, and I got this for being good, and I get to put it on the trophy rack. So when I have the corns over, I can say, I don't know if y'all noticed or not, but the Lord gave me this right chair. Really good. It's got light and everything. Is that what you're saying, Brother Steve? That is not what I'm saying. I'm saying He's got a reward for you, though. I'm going to tell you that in the end. God is going to reward you. Now watch this. Matthew 6. Matthew 6. I'm looking at the clock thing. I should do part 2 tonight. But you know what? Nobody come. So I'm not going to do part 2. I'm going to run through here real quick and get you the rest of this stuff. But watch Matthew 6. Matthew 6. Watch really close. Take heed, verse 1, that you do your alms before men, to be seen of them, otherwise you have no reward of your Father which is in heaven. Therefore, when thou doest thine alms, do not sound a trumpet before thee, as the hypocrites do in the synagogue and in the streets, that they may have glory of men. Verily I say unto thee, they have their reward. Now watch, but when thou doest alms, let not thy left hand know what thy right hand doeth. So let me give you a good help how to do an offering for God. Take all your money you want to think about giving, throw it up in the air. Whatever God catches, He can keep. You get to keep the what falls to the ground. Sound like a good deal, dude? No. He says, or do it this way. Stand beside the offering box back there with your bill. Make sure it's a good one. And make sure when people walk by, you just take your time dropping it in the box so they can see what you do. He said, no, don't do it that way either. He said, really don't let your left hand know what your right hand's doing. But what? This is the part that got me that, like, I underlined, I hung on to it, verse 4, because I never paid attention to one little phrase. He said that thine alms may be in secret, and thy Father, which seeth in secret himself, shall reward thee. I don't know if y'all caught that. God himself will reward you openly. Y'all get that? I try to imagine this thing. I'm like, well, I don't know, like eternity and everything. So like 10,000 years, I might get close enough to actually get a glimpse of him. This tells me, Brother Joe, that God personally himself is going to reward me in front of everybody. I get like goosebumps on that. Y'all know what I'm saying? Now, Brother Steve, I still don't know what we're going to do with the stuff we're getting, the rewards. I'm glad you asked. Go to Revelation 4. Revelation 4. Boy, I don't know how in the world this don't turn into a night service too, but it's not. Hang on with me. Ride this thing out. Catch the wave. Revelation 4. So they walk in the throne room, Brian, and everybody, when they walk in the throne room, has got a crown. Where'd the crown come from? They just come through judgment. And God gave them a crown that shows that they've worked for me. You see that? Now watch this. The Bible said in verse 10, and the 24 elders fall down before him that sat on the throne and worship him that liveth forever and ever and cast their crowns before the throne, saying, thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. All right, look at me. I'm going to get you to the finish. How many of you would like to somehow say thank you to God for what He did for you? One person, Martha Hawkins, she said, I would love to do that. I'm with you, Martha. I'd love to do that too. This group of people that we just read walked into the throne room of God, Bobby, with crowns on their head. They took them off and they laid them at His feet and said, God, you are worthy. Woo! Now, can I give you the scenario that I don't want to give you? Where did you get the crown? Well, He gave it to me. Brother Steve is going to give everybody the crown. No. Crowns are earned. Salvation's a gift. You get to go to heaven because you're saved. Belief determines eternity. Behavior determines how you spend eternity. Well, maybe they got a gift shop. You know, when you go to the Ark Encounter and everything, they got a gift shop. Maybe you can... No gift shops. You want to give Jesus, you want to give God, you want to give the Spirit something, you get it while you're here working for Him. I wonder today, you know what he said about some people's works, Brian? They're going to be burned up in chapter 3 of 1 Corinthians. Y'all read the rest of it? But they'll be saved, it said, so is by fire. My cousin's got a blanket. Their house burnt many, many, many years ago. But it was a grandma blanket. They took the blanket to get it cleaned, to try to get the smoke out of it, Brother Greg. They've had it dry cleaned. They've had it done everything. They've hung it in mothballs. But you know what? When you bring the blanket out, it still smells like smoke. But they still got the blanket. And here's what Jesus says. Some will be saved. They're going to get to heaven, but they ain't going to have no crowns. They're not going to have anything to lay at Jesus' feet. They're going to be empty-handed. But he said they're saved. So if you're in the room today and you say, Brother Steve, that's all I care about. I just want to get there. Then you know what? Don't do nothing. But I'm going to tell you who I am. I want everything that God has for me. If He made it, I want it. Because He's the great creator. Now here's the closer. I spent all the time on everybody that's saved. And I didn't get to where I wanted to get to. So for the sake of you not coming back, I want you to go to Revelation 20. Let me read you one or two verses and I'll close. Revelation 20 and I'm done. I told the kids when they were born, they were given a birth certificate. Now, it's not like the olden days. Apparently, now you got to go online and try to get this thing. And some probably kids don't even have birth certificates yet. They're birthed and everything, but they don't have the paperwork. And you got to have that to get a passport. Everybody okay? God kind of operates the same way. In Revelation 20, these are people who did not believe that Jesus was the Son of God. They did not confess to God they were sinners. They did not ask Jesus to save them. And they died one day. They still get a judgment too. And the name comes from this writing here, a great white throne. So picture, if you will, a great white throne. And someone sitting on it. All right? Here's what it says in verse 11. I saw a great white throne, and Him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and heaven fled away. And there was found no place for them. You see that? I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. And the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. Now watch, the sea gave up the dead which were in it. Death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged every man according to what? Their works. Their works. Watch this. Death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is what? What did Hebrews 9:27 say? Anybody remember? It's appointed unto man. Wants to die. So God says, Scott, you got to die one time. That's all you got to do, Scott, one time. But you know, some people will die twice. And the second death is referring to eternity without God. That was never God's plan. Whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Let me close it this way for you. Let me try to be as simple and clear as I can be. If you die today and you've never asked Jesus to save you, I promise you, you will go to hell as soon as you die. But that's just temporary. One day, the people in hell will be delivered up to heaven, to God, and God will judge them, and then He will cast them into the lake of fire. That's permanent. The difference in the lake of fire is, it says it's dark, but hot. Do the math. Dark and hot. So what are they judged by? They cussed. They stole. They lied. They cheated on their wife. Sounds like sin to me. Why do I know that part of their punishment is sin? Because my sins were paid for by Jesus. So when they drove the nails in His hand, that was for Steve. When they put the crown on His thorns on His head, that was for Steve. When they took the cat of nine tails and stuck them in His back and ripped the flesh away, that was for Steve. Because Steve cussed, and Steve stole, and Steve lied. He didn't honor his parents. He did a lot of stuff. And sin's got to be paid for. And so Jesus said, hey, I'm going to pay for everybody's sins. Amy said, I don't believe that. I'll pay for my own. And God says, you're welcome. You get to. You don't accept Jesus, you get to pay for your own sins. How much does sins cost? Go back and read the story. I'll tell you, you can find out how much sin cost. Now here's the part I didn't get to. I really wanted to. But you got to trust me. I'll tell you the truth. Jesus was dealing with this very subject of death and hell. And here's what Jesus said. He said, y'all hear me? It's more tolerable in hell for some than others. What? It's more tolerable. So listen to this, class. You ready? Hell is going to be harder for some than others. Now, I'm going to be very truthful. There's probably some in this room right now that are not saved. If you don't get saved and you die the way you are, hell will be harder for you than some people in Africa and Belize. And I'm going to tell you why. Because there's some people who's never heard the gospel. They didn't know how to be saved. But some of you have heard. And when you reject it, God says it's going to be more tolerable for them people who did never hear it than for you that rejected it. So He said, I don't know how hot hell is. I'm telling you, it's going to be harder for some than for others. It's still hell. If you reject Jesus, you just crank the heat up if you die that way. Now here's the good news. Nobody, as far as I know, has dropped dead in the service yet. So that means you've got another chance to accept Jesus. And I would beg with you, I would plead with you, I'd do everything in my power to convince you not to walk through those doors lost. And if you're saved today, I would pray you would take it more serious about your behavior. Because God is going to reward you accordingly to your works. That's important. One day for you, I promise you. So let me get you to stand. I want to pray with you today. If you're here not saved, I would pray even while we pray right now that you might would call upon the Lord. I would pray that you'd get enough courage to walk out of your seats and come to this front and say, I need to get saved. But don't leave here not ready. Father, Lord, I pray today. Lord, I pray for this moment in time. Lord, I know so many of my scripture I never got to, but Lord, I know today the ones that I got to were enough. And Lord, I know that through Your Spirit You are convicting some probably right now in this service that they need to get saved today. Lord, I would pray that Your conviction would be upon them. Lord, I would pray that they'd understand if they say no, what they're doing. If they're saying no to salvation, Lord, I would pray You'd make that real to them today so they would not walk out of here and face that judgment knowing they've been warned. So Lord, I pray for this invitation. I pray for this first verse of song. Lord, that You give someone courage today to step out for You. In Jesus' name, amen.
Number 371.
Can I ask?